Backseat Producers, episode number 98, The Reader.
Off,
cool.
I'm anxious to be done talking about it.
It's been kind of like the
This is the last one.
Yeah,
right.
This is the last one, and the one that we've been holding back on for so long.
We're saving the best for last.
Oh yeah, that's it.
More like it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. We just don't want it to acknowledge.
Hey, this is Tony,
and this is Adam,
and this is Daryl,
and we are the Backseat Producers.
Yes.
If all goes well, which it should, this will be episode number 98. Just saying.
I don't really see how it could not be episode 98.
Unless we somehow screw up and lose this recording.
Unless something comes along that is so awesome
that we could
have
be
to
it.
Discuss it.
But that something would have to be ridiculously awesome for that to happen. And there's nothing that
about Watchmen, so.
Yeah, there's nothing that ridiculously awesome in the near future.
Well,
by the time this all comes out,
yeah.
Well,
if we get that delayed, there might be more awesomeness coming. But
wow, they were actually already that delayed.
We might be. Well, there's been talk of catching up. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens there.
All right. So this week we're going to talk about the last of our Oscar movies. The one that everyone's been anxiously awaiting us talking about. The Reader.
The Reader.
So.
Whoa. You need a rave siren.
Yeah. What? What? All right, so let's do this.
Next week. We're not recording anything.
Yeah, we're not going to be recording live next week. For anybody in the room, we are not recording live next week. That said. All right. But as far as release schedule, the next episode will be episode number 99. We have gone to our groupie, the one that we have, and asked for her input on what we should do for our 99th episode. And she actually gave us two suggestions. I think they're good suggestions. I think we'll be able to make a decent episode out of this.
I hope
And we actually have a nice theme running through it that was probably unintentional. The choices she gave us were Legend and Lady Hawk, and we now have the theme of 80s fantasy movies that start with the letter L. Bam. So.
All right. So let's riff about the Reader. Before we get too far into it, overall impressions.
Overall impressions, it was not the movie that I expected. Based on what I had heard about it, there was a point where I was kind of wondering where it was going to go, and I was a little bored with it. And I actually became interested in the last half of the movie, a lot more interested in the last half of the movie when that one big spoiler moment happens. I found that interesting, and the rest of the movie was a lot more interesting to me at that point. And it's not at all how the movie's marketed. It's not what the movie is being shown to be about. But, bam, that's what I got.
Overall, a pretty good slow drama, if you're into that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
First half of the movie was kind of a borderline child pornography. I thought
where it was going to go,
I thought this was going to be the substance of it, was this the relationship between the boy and the woman until it morphed into something else, as you said later on.
Yeah.
This movie had more wiener than Watchmen.
Yes, it did. And bigger,
more pronounced.
And less blue.
More focused wiener than Watchmen.
And first thing, guys, only Germans can do decadence right.
I give you that.
This was the first movie of the Oscar marathon where I was like, I want to be somewhere else, not here. This was the last movie? No, this was the second movie.
This is the second movie.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's weird because we were there for like 20 hours or something like that. At the
and
the
16 of it was this movie.
16 hours was this movie. I was like, this may be the worst movie I've seen this year.
Well, it's a bit of a stretch to say it's the worst, but it's probably one of
I've seen
it's
this
the
year.
Weakest of all these five.
Yes.
Oh, it was the weakest of all these five and more. I contemplated suicide about 20 minutes in. Just, if you're weak-willed, do not watch this movie.
Because this movie really didn't have any, more or less, any standout actors. It didn't really have any standout story.
Like Kate Winslet.
I'll disagree. Kate Winslet's performance was great.
Yeah, she was
her performance was fantastic in this movie.
Her performance was fantastic in this movie. That is the culmination of all the positivity I can give this whole review here. So
that's fair.
I will just spend the rest of this cast flexing. Oh,
God. Flexing for the cam.
Busting out of my shirt. And for the kiddie porn comment, the dude was actually only 17. They had to wait to film the nude scenes until he turned 18 on the set.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That is weird.
Yes. So he is illegal for half the movie.
That's wild. I did not know that.
It is.
That's a cool piece of trivia.
Thank you, IMDb.
I was going to say.
You make this show in so many ways. If you could come to the table and drink bourbon or beer, you would be a better host than all of us.
All right. So let's kind of go through a summary of what the movie's about. What's going on?
Long and complicated.
Well,
it's not that complicated.
It's really not. Pretty straightforward story.
It's a pretty straightforward story. Story told complicatedly. You like how I put it in a lead and why every now and then.
Thank you, Edward Boy.
Disagree. I mean, this thing is a very linear story.
It was not told linearly, though. It jumped around a lot.
It jumped around a little, but not in the huge flashback sequences like a lot of the others we've seen.
The majority of the movie was a flashback because the movie actually starts with was it Ralph Fiennes?
Yes, Ralph Fiennes.
I can never remember which Fiennes it is, but it's... Okay, Ralph Fiennes is...
He's talking with his daughter about his upcoming, his divorce.
Right.
He's just been recently divorced, and he's kind of figuring out what he's going to do with the rest of his life. And at that point, he picks up a book.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, he looks at the title, and he thinks back in a flash how this book came to be,
mm-hmm.
or how what it has significance. And then the next scene is him as a young man, as a young boy, on a street, getting off the streetcar in a downstorm. The story is set in Germany post-war, about, 1956 or so?
I think so. That sounds about right.
And it's pretty evident that, a lot of the war damage is being cleaned up, but people are getting back to their normal lives.
Yeah.
And he stops at an alley just to be sick, literally.
Yeah.
Yes, and this is your first exposure to Douchington, as I call him, the young man.
Yes, and he's there puking his guts out, and this woman comes by, and she's kind of in a uniform and whatnot, and we later find out that she's a streetcar conductor.
Mm-hmm.
And she just takes no notice of him there puking up his guts in the middle of the alley. And then later on, she comes back with a bucket of water to wash down the pavement. And she sort of takes a look at him and a second look at him and, like, this guy's burning up with fever. And then she invites him up to get himself cleaned up a little bit.
I thought she just took him
home. No, she just takes him home at that point.
Yeah.
At that point, she just takes him home. Passes out, doesn't he?
No, he's hesitant she gives him, some stuff to get cleaned up with, to get the vomit off his face and whatnot. And he's kind of got it all over his shirt, too.
Oh, okay.
And she offers us to wash it out for him.
Yeah.
And he's a little hesitant because he doesn't know anything about her, and he's not exactly feeling great either. I mean, somebody, you just puked your guts up
mm-hmm.
in an alley, and a woman just suddenly comes down and says, okay, why don't you come up and get cleaned up? And she's kind of...
I'm not remembering this is how it happened.
Yeah, I don't think he went up that.
He didn't come up the first time.
He didn't know where she lived, what apartment she was in.
Yeah, what it was, I know what you're thinking of now. Mm. What it was he got sick, and then she got him home.
Yeah, okay.
And he, when he woke up at home, like weeks later or something, well, like
a few days later,
they quarantined him for a while. Yeah, but he had scarlet fever. He was for it was like a month and a half, 2 months, something like that, that he was quarantined. When he got off of quarantine, he came back to her apartment to thank her.
Oh,
all he knew was.
He just where
the
she
building
was,
where she lived. So he went back to the building, thanked her.
Stood awkwardly around, which is, if he's not banging her, that's what Douchington does, is stand
just
awkwardly
stand
around.
There. He waits for her. When she approaches, she says, "Fine, if you're going to be here, go get
a bucket of water. Yeah,
coal. Go get some coal." So he goes to get the coal and gets coal dust all over him. That's where she offers to clean him up, his clothes and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Take a bath. Just pulls the curtain for him and everything.
Right.
And that's the point where the movie starts getting a little weird.
No, that's right. I agree with this.
I thought that was the second... Now that I think about it, that was the second time that he...
Nevertheless, that's when the relationship...
No. Wait a minute. Okay.
This is the real mystery of this movie.
Is what exactly
because you
happened
like it
at the beginning?
So much, you don't want to
remember it. I remember now. I do remember now. Okay. The first time he comes to visit her, he wants to come back and thank her. He brings her flowers. She invites him up. He's awkwardly standing around, holding the flowers for her. She's like, "Hang on a minute, I need to get changed." She was either going to or coming from work. And she is getting changed. She's putting her stockings on or something. And he's standing outside of her apartment because there's no... her whole place is one room.
Right.
But she has a glass window to her door. And he kind of peeks in and sees her changing and sees Bush. I mean, it was there.
Awesome. Mid-50s explosive Bush. Badass. And too historically accurate, I think. Yes. I fault this movie for its historical accuracy.
He's standing there staring, slack-jawed. She sees him. He bolts.
Yeah.
He comes back the next day. Yeah. He comes back the next day or at some point later.
Here we go.
That's when it happens. That's when he gets the coal dust on him. She goes to help him change. She's helping him get out of his clothes.
Right.
And she kind of does a reach around. She's like, "Oh, that's why you came back." So that's when the sexual affair starts.
Bow-chicka-bow.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're going to have a porn, you need to get the plot straight up to that point.
I guess. You know what's awesome? The chat room is just embroiled in a debate about Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Awesome. Dogma is a sequel to Chasing Amy, yes. Okay.
So, at this point in the story, they're banging. And this is probably for the next 15, 20 minutes of just them banging in weird and new ways.
And the way he seduces her
is
the reading. Well, she's giving him sex.
Right.
And she wants him to read to her. And he thinks it's just like a way to... To turn her on, you know,
Well, she comes on to get him like that. She likes that sort of stuff.
Yeah. She likes being read to.
Right.
She's getting into
that. That's the hook of the movie.
If only all women were so...
Bedtime stories. If that was the...
Well, she gets, like, turned on by somebody reading to her. And that becomes kind of the hook later on in the movie is why she likes that.
Right. So they have this affair that lasts... A summer.
100 years.
Well, it's a summer.
It's a summer.
No, it felt like 100 years.
At one point, they're able to go away on like a bike trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we get another clue as to why she likes him reading to her. When they go to when they stop at this little
cafe,
country inn.
Yeah, this is where I figured it out.
Yeah, that's where it became really obvious. They bashed you over the head with it. She looks at the menu nervously and says, "I'll just have whatever he's having," and puts the menu down. She can't read. Ooh, I mean, it became really obvious to us.
Yeah.
Anybody in that scene, she hit it. Mm-hmm. She's the character is an expert at hiding this. That's one of the character points we understand later in the movie. So
So well, they also, bang in new and exotic places.
They do.
Just putting that out there.
But at that point, the relationship is starting to sour somewhat too.
I don't know that the relationship was so much souring.
But it was becoming evident to everybody else that this was a kind of like a May December thing. I mean, because the waitress commented to him, "What would your mother like?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to hear.
That's what I want to hear about the chick I'm banging.
And then they have that uncomfortably long kiss for that woman watching.
Yes.
So, but really,
more awkward standing around.
What turns the relationship isn't anything that happens between them, it's that she's offered a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually told, "You are getting this promotion. You are going to come work in the office."
Yep.
Which,
the look of panic on her face.
Yeah.
At that point,
if you haven't figured out by now that she can't read, guess what? She can't read. That's why she runs, because she can't take that position, and it's not like she can explain why. She can't have somebody figuring it out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, her little perfect world is about to be exposed here.
Flash forward, like, five, six years, right. something like that.
He's out of high school, and
he's out of university. He's
in law school.
Yeah, he's out of university now, and he's in law school now. And
this is where the story gets really weird, because it's at the point where she just kind of bolts in the middle of the night, where you're like, "Yep, I thought this movie was just going to end with them banging and then not banging, but that's not how it ends." It morphs into this next movie, with this next part, which this is like the spoiler section.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the weird part is, as far as the story goes, we're pretty much going to have to stop and issue a spoiler warning for the rest of the movie, because
yes.
The movie changes, fundamentally changes at this point.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
It's not what it was about before.
Right.
And it's, and amazingly enough, for the most part, In the press, in the little bit of press I heard about the movie, nobody gives away the spoiler.
Right.
I didn't know squat about this movie going into it, so I didn't know.
Yeah. So, spoiler. We're going to spoil the rest of this. We're not going to take a break for this.
Good.
Because I think we're going to end up having a shortish episode.
Bam. What I thought was going to happen was, I thought this was going to turn into a buddy cop series. Like a comedy. Buddy cop comedy. With the kid and then, like, his friends from school. And it'd be like a Scooby-Doo thing.
Ruh-roh.
They'd acquire a dog somewhere. That did not end up happening, much to my dismay. I'd like to point that out right now. There was so much foreshadowing for the buddy cop thing.
I don't know. I kind of thought, like, Nazi resistance units were going to pop out, kidnap her, and he was going to have to decipher some mystery code that was buried in the books they were reading. So, none of that happened.
Yeah, it's the reader code or the Wiener code.
Oh boy!
Yeah, let's.
It was hard to tell. It was hard to tell where the movie was going at this point, especially when they flash forward 5 years and she's been out of his life for this long, and he's in law school. Well. There's this, you know, and they show that he's definitely more well-adjusted. He's, you know, there's a girl in class that he's flirting with.
Is he flirting at that point, or is he banging her?
I think he's more and more floating her.
I think at that point he's flirting with her.
Because this is now the early 60s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the times are changing.
They are a change.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's just bring this back to Watchmen.
I mean, this is a few years before the mods and everything else, but you can see things are pretty loosening up from the 50s.
Right.
Yeah. And this chick was a huge improvement over the last chick he was doing. So I approve. Step up. Upgrade.
Upgrade.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so he's almost in like a special class, not special in the short bus kind of way, but in that
it's like a seminar.
An advanced seminar. Yeah. I mean, and you seem to get the idea that these people were handpicked to be in this group. That it's
right.
not.
It's only about
it's
a
not
handful.
A, somebody th- something
doing
you just
one-on-one
sign
with the professor. So,
right.
Yeah.
There's like six of them. Something like that.
Yeah,
about
so
six
some,
of them.
Some
this is
advanced
kind of special topic.
Right. So.
And especially since next plot point, they get invited to the Nuremberg trials.
Well, that's not the Nuremberg trials. This was another trial that was happening.
No, it wasn't Nuremberg.
Nuremberg was in the 40s. Oh, but it's another one.
But it was a specific trial. It was a specific war crime trial, where in this trial, there was a group of people who, through the course of the trial, you learn they were led into a church. They were locked in a church, and did a bomb hit the church?
Well, the thing was there. They were the guards. They were the guards, and they were on the move, and they had no place. They had to lock up their charges for the night.
Right,
it was a group of women and children, so they locked them up in a church, and they all disappeared to the barracks. A bombing raid happened that night, and the church was hit in the bombing raid and caught fire.
Right.
And the people in there were trying to get out, and they couldn't. And instead,
the guards had the decision. They could have let them go.
They could have opened the doors and let them out. They could have just done nothing. Well, they chose to do nothing. And we come to find out the reason why they did nothing was because they didn't want to be held responsible for the escape.
Right. Right. And
this is exposition you get over the painful course of 45 minutes.
I don't know that it was quite
that long.
Oh, it's a long ass time.
But yeah,
they have to hear the testimony from that old woman who's a slow talker.
Well, the thing,
this movie also lasted 16 hours for you. So,
during the course of the trial,
keep in mind, this movie lasted 16 hours for Adam. 45 minutes of it was the trial. So, do your own math.
Well, the thing is, once he's sitting up in the gallery, and he suddenly realized that the person in the defendant's chair is the woman he had the relationship with.
Yeah.
And Hannah suddenly Schmidt. It crashes in on him, like, okay, that's why she had such a hard time with her past.
Yeah.
He suddenly realized,
she never gave any information about her past. She never
talked about herself.
Talked about herself at all, period.
Right, and suddenly the woman you were having a relationship with is sitting in the defendant's chair because she was a Nazi.
A Nazi.
She was a Nazi guard, and she just was responsible for death for 150 people. She just let them burn to death.
Mm-hmm.
And during the course of this little trial, which, like you said, they tend to painfully drag it out, she was in charge of the group.
Yes. I don't think she was in charge of the group. I think that's how it went down.
Well, it came into the thing that they
were... This is where it becomes about the characters and not really about the plot.
Well, yeah.
Because, all right, to tell the story the way they told it, there are, like, six women on trial for being the prison guards.
Yes.
And they want to nail somebody for it. You know,
well, they want to find out who was in charge.
The judges, they're
all guilty.
They're all guilty of doing something.
Well, they're all guilty of the crime. But the question was, who was in charge, and who gave the orders not to open the doors?
Right.
Right.
Well, all the other defendants gang up on the woman.
Well, there's a written document that is produced, and they say, yes, she wrote it. And
she's in charge of us. She wrote it.
She wrote it. She's in charge of us. And so she is faced with the choice of telling everybody she's illiterate or accepting the blame. And she just accepts the blame. She's like, yep, I did it.
And at this point, the kid also has a choice.
Right.
All right.
He could come down there and give testimony that, hey, I know she's illiterate and she could not have ever wrote that letter. But he's faced with that moral dilemma up there is... If he comes down there, he's going to have to explain how he had how he came to know that.
Right, and plus he was still a little bit, I mean, he was, supposed to be like 16, 17 years old. And, I mean, he was in a full-blown sexual adult relationship with a mature woman who was, I think I did the math, and she should have been like 39. Mm-hmm. Because they told how old she was during the war, and at the point when they're having their relationship, she's in her late 30s.
This is where I think the real moral dilemma comes for.
And it's not really her. I think it was for the guy. And you almost get the sense that was he still pissed at her for how she just left?
This is where the real moral dilemma comes, because Douchington is looking down and he's like, 17 years old, she is almost 40. And I still want to bang her.
Yeah.
Well, even though she was a Nazi, I still want to hit that. And that is effed up. That's where his real moral dilemma is. That's why he's crying in the bleachers.
No. His moral dilemma is the fact that he's going to have to come down there. And he has a choice. He can come down there, give the testimony that, you know, this is bull. She couldn't have wrote it. She's illiterate. I know this because I was in a relationship with her. But he'd have to admit that he was not only having a relationship with an older woman, and he'd have to expose himself to his prestigious colleagues that, you know, I was doing this.
Nazi humper.
Yes. Well, yeah, he's jeopardizing his...
Hey, man, ass his, is ass.
Yeah,
he's times are tough.
He's having to jeopardize his future position as a lawyer.
You know, he also has kind of a sense that, was he doing it to protect her feelings?
Well, that's just it.
Was he that screwed up by this relationship that, hey, she doesn't want to tell the truth, why is it my place to save her?
Did you see that penis? This kid screwed up.
Well, that's why he talks with his professor about this later on. What's my responsibility?
He's got no worries in life. I'm sorry. I don't feel one bit sorry for this little shit. All right.
I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I'm pretty determined to be as unproductive in this discussion as humanly possible.
No. I've never done that before either.
Well, even after she's sent to prison, he still wants to visit her, but he just can't bring himself to make that visitation. He gets all the way up to the gate, and he gets cold feet and turns around.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, the film jumps forward another umpteen years.
Yes. And he does finally... doesn't he finally visit her?
Yes. No. Well, he does.
He just starts sending her tapes.
Right,
he's reading.
Right,
yeah.
Well, he starts sending her books on tapes.
Right.
Years after he starts doing that, and then she learns to write. That's and she starts true. Writing back to him. I don't think he ever writes back to
no.
him.
No,
no. But she sends him cards and letters, and
yeah.
she looks forward. You know, it's one of the highlights of her existence is getting these books on tape. Because if you can't read, I mean, being in prison is a real bummer.
Yeah,
you got nothing to do.
Well, and she takes it upon herself. I thought this was kind of an interesting character. A change in the character where she takes those tapes, takes the books, and sits down and listens to the tapes over and over while following the words in the books, and that's how she learns to read. I thought that was kind of cool.
I thought it was very clear that they were going to get to the point where she was sending letters to Playboy, but she ends up dying before Playboy existed, I think.
Well, then we move again all through to his later adult life.
Well,
and he's sitting there sending these tapes off, and you know, more or less keeping her giving her a reason to live, because at this point she's pretty much ready to die.
She's a little bit more than ready to die.
Yeah.
So well, he gets a call saying that she's being released, and he's like,
her sentence. Yeah, her social worker calls him up and puts down that she was the only person on the register there that ever sent her anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you know, would you help her out? I mean, she's going to be getting out soon, and she's been in prison for 20-some years. She has no family. She has no friends. She has nothing. And now that this woman is back into his life, he's kind of got this moral dilemma. He's been sitting on the outside for, you know, doing this remote support stuff, and now the support is coming up front and personal. So at this point, he finally caves in and actually visits her. And, you know, the years have not been kind to her at all.
No. She's been in prison. I mean...
Well, yeah, she's 60-some years old.
This is another moral dilemma. Because I think after Ray Fine goes and sees her, he's like, I'd probably still hit that.
Well, anyway, he takes responsibility for her and says, okay, I'll help her out, get her set up, help her find a job, a place to live.
And this was also after he has... been married,
mm-hmm.
has a child. He and his wife are divorced.
Right.
And that's when a lot of this part of the story happens, which is kind of plays into the whole bookend story to this story is his relationship, Ray Fiennes' relationship with his daughter,
mm-hmm.
and kind of their history as Germans, I think. I'm well, speculating here.
Well, he's of the older generation,
right.
And she's of the generation that has no first-hand knowledge,
right.
of the 1940s and 30s. And she's in the woman is representing, you know, she's kind of the last bridge.
Yeah, and
because this is now coming up into the 1980s.
Yeah. Stingray's right. When he gets the call telling him that she's being released, they're like, she's being released, and he's like, so? Why are you telling me this? Yeah, he was a pretty big dick.
Yeah.
This is where he becomes Dick Douchington. He shows up late. So,
He met her earlier than
that. He meets her like maybe a day or two before she's released.
Okay. Right.
And then they have their big, hey, I'm going to take care of you speech. And she's like, okay. It was very awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Awkwardly standing around has given away to awkwardly sitting down and having conversations. So Dick Douchington leaves and does whatever preparations he's going to make. And before she is released, she just hangs herself.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah, she can't
handle the... Good thing you got me an apartment.
The outside.
She can't handle the outside. She has become...
totally institutionalized.
Yeah.
He was a dick in The English Patient, too. I think this movie is a sequel.
Yeah, there's a huge discussion that's been going on this whole time in the chat room about sequels. And they've talked about everything from Happy Days and its sequels to the Star... There was a huge discussion I noticed about Star Wars. I kept having one eye on the discussion.
I was like, you know what? We were having this conversation about this movie, and I was like, I would be rather participating in that discussion of Star Wars. Damn it, I hate this movie.
It's just, the last part there, you've got a job and a place to live, I'm not going to be in your life. It's not what she was expecting. No, right. She wasn't. She was expecting some more.
Yeah, yeah. And
she thought she could, like, either she thought she would, we're going to pick up right where we left off.
I can't imagine how she would have thought that.
Yeah.
What
exactly is the move there?
So she's dead. He's basically been put in charge of her estate, such as it is.
Which is just some money in a can, isn't it?
Well, all her tapes and books, the money in the tin.
And she has written out what amounts to be a will that she wants the money to be given to the survivor from the fire, which was the person who testified against her.
Slow talker.
Yeah. Who at this point is also dead.
Yeah, she's, yeah.
So Ralph Fiennes goes to New York.
Meets
with the daughter. Who is a huge bitch, appropriately so.
This is Dick Douchington's stupidest scene.
Because he doesn't quite know exactly how to react to her at all. Because she's just like, what do you want from me?
What are you doing here?
I don't understand.
Why are we talking about this?
Who
are you?
And if you think about his point, he's got to tell her, okay, I had this affair with this woman when I was 17, and I was sitting in the courtroom when your mom testified about her killing all the other people, and I didn't say anything. That was the weirdest...
No, this is the best scene ever. That woman is a symbol for the audience. Because basically comes out, she's like, I had this affair with this woman when I was 17. Why are you telling me this?
Right.
And then, while I was in the courtroom when your mother testified, I don't want to talk about this. Why are you here?
Yeah,
it's and perfect.
That whole conversation—that's exactly how that whole conversation went.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's either he's looking for absolution and he's not getting it, or he's trying to explain that she was like everybody just wrong. She was wrongly convicted, is what he's trying to tell her.
Well, and he wants absolution for her.
Well, he wants absolution for her and for himself.
His
weakness in not coming forward and defending her when she could have been defended, and for her because she was as much a victim of the whole thing as anybody else. Yeah, she should have been punished for what she did, but to take the blame for the whole thing was a bit much. While everybody else on trial got less than 5 years. She got 20. Right.
So thankfully that scene ended.
Well, and it ended with them kind of giving some of the money to a charity organization, I can't remember the exact line, but it was something to the effect where he said something about giving it to, I'm sure there's some charity we can donate this to, and she had some witty retort about something, and it was something like, yeah, we're Jews, we have a charity for it, or something like that. I remember that being funny, but I don't remember exactly what the joke was now.
I don't remember it either.
So,
it was the Jews will find a use for the money.
Something like that. That was hilarious. And,
she ends up keeping the tin as a memento.
Yeah, it was more the tin was the memento because of
what it represented.
Yeah, what it represented and the age that it was from, because it would have been something that, and it was like something she remembered
from
her mother or something. Or, yeah,
whatever. Anyway, meaningless emotional significance inserted here.
Yes. All right, and
how much longer until this movie ends?
That was it.
There was also the scene where Ray Fiennes goes back to his daughter, and there he's trying to reattach with his daughter after he's been separated from her because of the divorce, and she's away at college, and blah blah.
Right,
blah.
They drive back to the country inn where they had the lunch, and he tells her, "I want to tell you something of my earlier life."
Right,
and the relationship I had.
That's really one of the situations I want to get in with my parents someday. Where my mom sits me down and tells me she was banging when she was 17.
She was banging some 40-year-old dude when she was 17. But this is before I met your dad, so it was all right.
Before I met your dad,
where to go, mom?
Yeah, before I met your dad, I was in a biker gang and
sort of hard leather and whips.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the sort of things like can really mess you up.
Do you want to see the Hustler spread from it?
No.
I was on the cover of Crack Corner magazine.
So, and then he takes her to
the grave.
Yeah, to one of the camps. Doesn't he?
No, that was in the middle.
As a kid.
Oh, that's right.
In the middle when he was trained up.
He was just wandering around. Yeah. I don't know what the hell he was doing there.
Yeah, we mess up a lot of this movie as we're telling it because
it
was.
I don't want to remember it.
It
pains me.
Well, the easiest way to describe it, if you like a good slow drama.
Mm-hmm. It was a slow drama that actually, it was unexpected because it wasn't what I thought it was about.
Don't expect any massive explosions or chase scenes or car chases.
It's a very slow, character-driven period drama.
Right. If you're into that sort of
period.
Stuff.
I mean, and Adam is obviously not into that. And that's fine.
I hate the combination of all of those things. Yeah. Character-driven, slow, period drama? No.
Unless it had time travel in it.
It did not have time travel.
I'm saying if it would have had time travel in there.
But if you're not into that sort of
if there was a Nazi time travel machine in there.
Oh, it'd be like playing Red Alert.
If you're not into that kind of a slow-paced movie, this is not for you. If all the Oscar contenders, it is the weakest of them.
Yeah, it was the Atonement of this year. The Atonement was dreadful. Oh, man.
Why it got nominated, good question.
Which one?
It was slow and artsy.
This one?
The Reader, yes. Why it got nominated is a good question. I mean, there were probably a lot of other movies that were
slow and there
better.
Was a penis, so it was artsy. We even talked about
I think it had a lot going for it. I think it had a lot going for it, but I do.
Kate Winslet
was fantastic.
Don't disagree. She got naked.
And, that was helpful. I'm not gonna say otherwise.
Just trying to bait and switch with a penis,
Hey, wait. Whoa. Cover up that corner of the screen. We got Kate Winslet to look at over here.
Cover up that half of the screen.
Well,
God damn it.
But yeah. Cover up that half of the screen for his penis. The rest of him can stay in the shot. Did we mention this dude's junk was kind of ridiculously big? Anyway.
I don't know if it was
anyway, he has a great future in porn.
I only saw this movie once, so I didn't inspect it like I inspected Dr. Manhattan's junk. Got into an argument about whether or not it was circumcised, so the second and third time I was like giving it the eagle eye. I'm like, what penis looks circumcised to me? Don't worry,
right.
I'm here with all this up-to-the-minute important information.
More information than we need to know.
Where were we going? Where was I going with that?
We were concluding it.
Oh, I guess so. I can see how it was nominated in the same way that the Atonement was. It's period piece. It's
yeah, but Keira Knightley's hotter.
I'm going to disagree.
That's all right. You don't have to argue everything.
You know what though? They could mud wrestle. That would be fine with me.
Did you hear some town in the Eastern Seaboard made that illegal, mud wrestling? Why? Jello wrestling. And I was like,
that's ridiculous.
That's wholesome American entertainment.
Seems to be counter American.
Where are all our American our solely American institutions going? This is unpatriotic.
That's right. I mean, that's an affront.
Somebody call the Homeland Security on those people. There's something wrong with that.
It's like, I can't even imagine a couple dudes sitting around a room saying, you know what? It's a good idea to get rid of mud wrestling.
Yeah, let's ban mud wrestling.
What is that a good idea?
What I want to know is what situation is brought about where someone has to think about making that decision?
The more awkward, how do you convince other people of that?
You know what it was? I bet you anything. What it was some dude got busted doing it, and he was a politician. And his wife's like, "You need to stop that crap right now. Not only do you have to stop, but you need to make sure it doesn't happen anywhere around here anymore."
It's New Jersey. What do you expect?
Well, why does Tony get the credit for talking about the town of banned mud wrestling? Damn Stingray! First you screw me on Wrath of Khan, and now this.
He's gonna ban you from the chat room.
Makes
sense.
So, closing thoughts on this movie.
Kate Winslet got the award she deserved.
Appropriate nomination and subsequent award.
And she was deserving of it.
I accept your wrath. She accept my and Khan's wrath. Daryl?
I don't think it should have been an Oscar nominee, but there it is. I mean, if you like, again, slow dramas, character studies, and whatnot, and you can sit through this movie, it's probably worth it to you.
I enjoyed the movie. I don't think it was a bad experience watching the movie.
It wasn't bad. I mean, I can appreciate
slow dramas though. I like character studies, and I thought this had a couple of interesting character studies in it. The kid and her.
Other than that, I mean, it's not something horrible. It's just
it's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. I mean,
it's not a movie for everybody in the same way that Watchmen's not a movie for everybody.
That's wrong.
It's just again, you're wrong, but that's okay. I'll let you think you're right for purposes of the podcast.
My closing thoughts on this movie. The way that the light is in here and the webcam is, it looks like I have a fuller beard than Luke sported for the entire 3 months. Isn't that awesome? I have very little facial hair, but it looks like I have a full beard. That's awesome.
It is funny. And those are your closing thoughts on the movie.
Those are my thoughts on the movie. I showed up tonight, guys. I think I really brought it to the table this week.
Daryl, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, nope. That's it. All right. I got nothing.
Okay, so next week.
Cinco de Stash. If you're Hispanic, you would appreciate that. We don't grow facial hair easily.
Yes, I know. You don't grow any hair easily, except on your head.
That's very true. I grow a lot of that.
All right, next week. Next week, nothing. We're not doing a live recording next week. We're taking a break. For tax day.
Yep. So go back to watching Lost or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Watch Lost next week.
Yes. And then the week after that, we are doing Legend and Lady Hawk.
And we should pick something for the 100th.
And the 100th is going to be a surprise.
What?
Okay.
All right. I don't know.
That means we haven't decided yet.
Exactly. We'll probably announce
something. Folks.
We'll think of something within 2 weeks when we record again. So, thanks.
Might involve Jello and massive explosions.
Hey,
have a webcam now.
Hold we do have a webcam. We could do Jello wrestling.
Oh,
hot
damn!
It'd be warm enough. We could do it out back.
Whoa!
Get spotlight.
Lime Jello.
Don't you dare, you ass.
We got the kids trampoline. We can get somebody in trampoline doing cheers. I'm just saying.
Cheers.
Luke, you up for that?
Woo.
All right, so that's it. See ya.
Goodbye.
Being on camera is very distracting. Just saying.